I am boring without it.
Both of them work well the long way.
Oh, really?
They do. Because one day I forgot to turn it the.
You just left like that and it's really good?
Yep.
Oh, okay. You are totally live.
Am I live? Excuse me, people, we are live and we need you to settle down.
Security.
Security. And come on up and pray us in, Brett. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you pay Ryan off or something?
Huh? No, Ryan didn't look like he was into it. He was like, you're really into it tonight. Are you ready to go?
I'm gonna be praying with Brett.
Well, come up here and pray with him. Yeah. Help him out. You prayed for me before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows how to do it. He doesn't need a cop to come in.
I love this guy.
Okay. Let's pray in.
I know, right?
Father God, we just come before you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. Because you are the highest of all. And we just come and ask that tonight will be a message to be remembered. And that you would speak to all of us, to all those that are listening online, and as well as all of us here present. And we just, Lord, we just ask that you would use Pastor Sandy, that his lips would be anointed, and that you would carry on a message that would be what you want us to hear, Father. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Rock solid.
Okay, you guys have your notes. Let me see, do I need to, huh? Yes, thank you. That's why. Abigail's awesome. Say it with me. Abigail's awesome. Okay. All right, let me do one thing first. I want us all to go to Leviticus chapter 25, and we're going to get started there only to explain something to you, because as we get into this Bible study towards the end, you're going to see why the Jubilees are important, and why they're talking about the Smita year. Okay, I'm not with all the Smita books and Smitas, because I knew, and people who know Hebrew and understand scripture knew that it was kind of a hoax, right? It was a guy selling books. He was selling a lot of books, and he was on every Christian TV station, and whenever they give you a book deal, and then now you're sitting next to Kenneth Copeland, and now you're on Daystar, and now you're doing a telethon for him. You know, even though you're a Jewish guy, you're doing all these telethons. They had one telethon where they were asking people, like, well, I see, it's easier to do it. He said, well, the Lord is telling me there's 50 people out there who have $5,000 to give. And if you give that $5,000, our Jewish brother is going to pray the benediction prayer over you. And we're going to put everybody who sent the $5,000 in on this table. And then, you know, his last name's Khan, which should tell you, right? So, and he's gonna pray over all the prayers, and then they got all these people giving money, and you know, then you turn around, and he's like, well, he's sitting with Jim Baker, and I'm like, didn't he just got out of jail? And he's like, but they're trying to sell $3,000 7-year food packages, right? So they're going to scare you about the tribulation coming. And they're not going to talk about the rapture, but we're going to scare you about the tribulation, and then we're going to sell you a $3,000, well, 2,000 something food package that lasts for 7 years.
Wonder why 7 years?
Any food that lasts for 7 years, I ain't eating it. There's enough preservatives in there to kill an elephant, right? So, you know, ever since it came out, I've never been drawn to that because I'm always watching out who you're hanging with. I've become very skeptical since I came back from Islam, because I was like, I got tricked. You know, how did I get tricked, Lord? Brahman Abdul Rahim, my name is Sandy. And, you know, I'm like, but I was very upset that someone was able to easily manipulate me into something that was false. And it was all based on the fact that I didn't know the Bible. And they could do that, right? And so I think, like, when Jesus says watch and pray, I don't think we watch at all. And I think, like, Christians are really good-hearted people. So it takes a really long time, especially if someone says, like, Satan could get up and go, I was at home, and I was thinking about Jesus and how wonderful he is. And you would go, Satan got saved. Christians would do that. And you'll go, did you hear? Satan got saved. That's how Christians are, though. Anybody who says Jesus, we just figure they got saved and we need to follow them and pray for them. And this is so wonderful. And I'm like, let's hold off and see what they're doing, right? And so I'm watching what you're doing and I'm watching who you're hanging out with. And I know that there's an undergird of Southern Baptist Convention and Illuminati that's paying a lot of pastors to manipulate you and to tell you, you know, the coming of Jesus is coming soon, not the rapture. Jesus is coming soon, because I know what they're planning, right?
Right.
So, let's read Leviticus chapter 25 real fast. Then I'm going to get into our real Bible study, but I have to do this, or else I'm going to feel like people are being cheated, because they go, oh, that was a Jubilee year, and someone gave me a Jonathan Kahn book one day. I was at a Bible study. He go, hey, you got it. Have you read this book? And I went, and I looked at it, and then the Lord said, throw it in the trash. And when I walked out, I found a trash can, and I threw it in the trash. He said, don't throw it in the trash. And, that Harbinger, Smita, I know what a Smita is. Smita is a sabbatical year. It's not, you know, there's a couple times in the scripture that they call it Smita, meaning the Jewish word for it. But it's really a sabbatical year, okay? And I think I explained to us what sabbatical years are. You got, you know, this, remember we said that Jesus told him to forgive you for 490 years? Well, every seventh year, they were supposed to have a sabbatical year and let the land rest. And then after the land rest, they were able to go back after that year and start harvesting again. But then when the seventh year came, they had to let the land rest, and that was called a sabbatical year. Now, this is what they call Smita years, okay? So, I never heard this. Anyone else use Smita except for when I read it in Hebrew when I was reading Deuteronomy. But when he came out with the books, it became something new to people. The Smita, the Harbinger. And I'm just like, okay, let me see who he's hanging with. Because if he's really with God, he's trying to get a message that God is trying to send out. But if not, he'll start hanging with people that are shysters, right? And so I saw the telethon blew it for me. Like, once you do a telethon, they call it money-thon or whatever. Once you do that, I'm like, I'm cool. And so these 50 years. Now I'm only doing this to so I can explain something to you. Watch this. It's in verse 8, chapter 25 of Leviticus. And it says, count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7, so that 7 Sabbaths of years amount to the a period of 49 years. Then have a trumpet sound everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout the land, consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land, okay, to all its inhabitants. Now, watch this. So, if I'm about to come to the 50th year, that means the 7th of the 7 years, the 49th year, is a sabbatical year, right? That means I have to let the land rest. So I let the land rest for the sabbatical year, but then now I have a jubilee coming up and the land has to rest for the jubilee year as well. So if you read in here, God promises to supply them not only in the 7th year, but also in the 8th year to make sure that they have plenty to eat. Don't worry about it, right? As long as you're, so when a 7th year comes, you work for 6 years, that 7th year comes, well, you know it's a sabbatical year. I'm not even going to say smita because I'm tired of it. So then you would work six more years, and then the 7th year you would have a sabbatical year, okay? So I'm going to say smita just so you guys can understand. Then I'm going to work 7 more years, then I'm going to have a smita. And then when I get to the 49th year, I know now it's another 7th year, so I have to have a smita. And then I'm going to have a jubilee as well. And if you read it, God says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you for the 7th and the 8th year, because I know you can't harvest for 2 years and you're going to have plenty, right? So this is just a question. If 1917 was a jubilee, what year was a sabbatical year? If 1917 was a jubilee, what year was a sabbatical year? 1916, because that would be the 49th year. So that was the sabbatical year. Then 2017 was the jubilee. And then the following year, they're able to go back and harvest. So if 1967 was a jubilee, then when was the sabbatical year? 1966. So that would have been the sabbatical year, then 1967 would have been the jubilee. So then when was the last smita? We know there was a jubilee in 2017. So the last smita was 2016. Well, they're telling people, oh, the last jubilee was in 2015 because this happened in the world. And then there was a smita in 2008, and this happened in the world. And then there was one, but it's off. You understand? There couldn't be a smita year in 2015 because it's 2 years before the jubilee.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
It's just common sense. And anybody who studies Hebrew or studies the land knows this is a hoax, right? But they had it, they're selling so many books and they got him on so many TV stations, and it doesn't matter what he does because they're selling him to you as a celebrity. But anybody who's studying knows you can't have a sabbatical year in 2015 if 2017 is the jubilee, because the jubilees have been marked. How do you know? Because they got back Jerusalem. Every time you have a jubilee, the land Jerusalem was called back to the ownership of the Jewish people, right? So now they're saying, okay, this year is a sabbatical year. I'm with it. It's not this year though. They have to wait until Rosh Hashanah. Once Rosh Hashanah comes, then they'll be in their sabbatical year, okay? Meaning a seventh year, which is absolutely perfect, okay? Because if it is a sabbatical year, it starts a seven-year period. But it wouldn't start till fall, okay? It won't start till fall, which means that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, could be the time of the Antichrist coming forth and signing the documents, okay? Because if that comes this fall and they're in a sabbatical year, it folds out perfectly. But they're not in a sabbatical year now because 2015 was not a Smita year, okay? It's impossible to have a Smita year 2 years before a Jubilee, okay? Now we can move on. Yeah, because I'm trying to help people with this, like, okay, I know what they said, and then the stock market crashed, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then, you know, I could do that. I could say, oh, this was a Bubbly Bay year, and the Bubbly Bay means, you know, and then you could just say, well, in 2001, this happened because it was a Bubbly Bay year, and I could just, I don't know, you just make stuff up, you know? But I'm selling books because I sound like I'm giving you biblical,
right,
intellectual information. But if you understand the Jubilees, if you understand the Jubilees, you know that that year cannot be a Smita year, right? But I don't know. Sell books away. And have as many telethons as you want. But I got to stand before God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Now, You have your notes? You have your notes? Now, listen to this scripture. This scripture says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. God is concealing things, but it's the honor of kings is to search out the matter, okay? So as royalty, because we got Jesus' blood, we're supposed to be searching out the matter. But it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, okay? Now, in the Hebrew, it says, Koved Elohim HaSeter, or HaEster, okay? Because the name Esther means to what? To hide something, to conceal, okay? So, and this led me to say, okay, if God is showing us, is saying that, why would he use Esther as the same name for concealed? And then in the book of Esther, you guys knew they wanted to take Esther out of the Bible?
Yep.
You know why? It doesn't mention God. You can't, if you read it on the surface, Esther never says Yahweh, Yahweh, Vaveh. They never say anything about the Lord, anything. It's just this stories, okay? But you never get the name of God mentioned in the book of Esther, unless you encode it. Because just like Jesus on the cross, and they put above him the Nazarene, King of the Jews, and they encode Yahweh in those four words, in Esther, they have encoded the name Yahweh, I think 5 to 8 times, different names. I am, Yahweh, are all encoded inside of the book of Esther, okay? So if you look on your notes right underneath where it says Esther 2, there's a sentence that says, all the wives shall give. And in that sentence, they have coded Yod Hey Vav Hey, okay? Not J-H. Forget that English thing on the other side. But they have Yod Hey Vav Hey, okay? In the fifth chapter, in the fourth verse, it says, let the king and Haman come today. And encoded in that sentence is the name Yod Hey Vav Hey, which is Yahweh, okay? And then it says, this avails me nothing. God encoded his name again, Yahweh. the evil was determined against him. God encoded his name again, Yahweh. So God is putting his name in the book of Esther, but he's encoding it. He's not putting it in plain, because what he's concealing, just like Esther concealed who she was, so he's concealing his name inside of the book of Esther. Yeah. Okay? But it's in there. Even in chapter 7, verse 5, it says, who is he and where is he? And encoded in that is the name I am. Ihiyah Ashiya Ihiyah. So I am is encoded there. So you have God in the book of Esther, but it's hidden. Okay? And what does Esther mean? Hidden. Okay? Now, so that led me to the thing is, if we cannot find the rapture, is it hidden inside of the book of Esther? Is there a code of some type that's inside the book of Esther that is going to tell us what we can't find out, what nobody's able to find out? Is there something that's speaking about the blessed day of hope? Okay? Let's see. Let's go to the next page. Now, also Messiah, Yeshua. Okay, yeah. Because it says here, also Messiah is inside of Esther. Yeshua is encoded inside of Esther. Did you guys know that? El Shaddai is encoded inside of the book of Esther. Okay, so altogether, yeah, it says the names of God are 8 times in the book of Esther. Now, there's a month that they get rescued. And that month is called Adar. Adar means glorious. Okay? How many times do you think that Adar is found in the book of Esther? 8 times. Okay? Which is the new beginning, the number of Jesus Christ. Okay? Esther's gematria is 55, which really is very important. And we'll get back to that later. Okay? So, if you'll look right here, that's one of the sentences, and you'll see how it has a yod, a hey, a vav, a hey, but that's one of the sentences that's in Esther. The other one, they have it encoded backwards. So you have the yod, the hey, the vav, and the hey, because that's what God will do. Sometimes he'll encode it going forward, sometimes he'll encode it going backwards, like in Isaiah 53. It says, Yeshua is my name going forward, encoded, but backward it says Jesus the gift, Yeshua Smai, Shua Shai, the gift. So it has Jesus the gift going backwards, but it has Jesus is my name going forward. But it's encoded, you understand? So, because if you read Isaiah 53, you're like, I didn't see the name Jesus. Well, it runs through the whole thing. You just got to look at it and encode it. It's there. Okay. So understanding this, that God is, he's hiding things in the book of Esther. Okay. Last year? Yes. Last year on March 14th was the last day of Adar. From the last day of Adar is the 10th of Tishri. That means every year, the last day of Adar, you count forward 187 days and you come to the 10th of Tishri. Now, see, that's not important to you guys because we haven't done the Bible study yet. But once we do the Bible study, you'll see why, how did God measure out this 187 days from Adar to Yom Kippur that happens every year, okay? So we're going to go to the book of Esther, and we're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to read chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Hallelujah. Try not to get, I got 3 cards here. I'm going to have to show them tomorrow, Pastor Ben. They're so nice. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Okay, I gotta stop looking at my cards. Okay, here we go. You guys ready? Okay, I'm prophesying to you now because, and I'm going to explain how it's prophesying to you so you understand, okay? It says, this is what happened during the time of Xerxes. Xerxes, who ruled 127 provinces. So he's king of basically the whole world, right? Stretching from India to Kush. So from India to Africa is the name Kush. What does Kush mean in Hebrew? Black. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Kush means black. So that then becomes Ethiopia, and then it becomes Africa. We can go over that some other time. It says, at that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. Now, what does Susa mean? Lily. I'm going to show you a lily plant, okay? Because they call it the lily plant because it was like this. Here was a lily plant. That's a lily plant. It's, what does it look like? The Star of David. That's the plant that was put on the top of the pillars in the temple. So this what looks like to be the Star of David is on the pillars in the temple of Solomon's temple. He puts two lily plants on there, right? And so Susa is called the lily. So he's ruling, but the image of where he's ruling is the Star of David. You understand? So this is telling you that this is a Jewish story, but it's being told in a Gentile way, okay? But it's very Jewish. Watch this. Okay. And it says, at the time King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all of his nobles and officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media, and the princes and the nobles and the province were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days. So what? For 180 days, he gives this elaborate party that lasts for 180 days. But what he was doing in the first 180 days was just taking everybody around to see all the vastness of his wealth and all of the beauty of what he had, right? Now, he's doing this for 180 days, which is what? 6 months, okay? After the 6 months, it says, when these days were over, then the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. So this is a Zion Israeli symbol, but we're talking about this king, right? So when the church leaves, okay? See, everyone believes like this. The church leaves and the tribulation begins. It's not how it happens. The church leaves, then there's a war, there's an attack against Israel, there's craziness going on. In all of this war and stuff that's going on, after about the 6 month, someone steps forward and says, we're going to calm this all down. The Messiah is here. We're going to calm everything down. The Christ has returned. We're going to have a 7-year peace plan, And we're going to stop all this war. We're going to reset the finances and help people. And this is what we're going to do. He's going to deceive them with what? Flattery. This is what Daniel says. He's not coming like, you know, he's coming to tell you that oh, I hate God and I'm here to destroy you. He's coming so that you like him. Mm-hmm. And you accept him as the king. You understand? There's two different words for the crown that he has on in chapter 6 on the white horse and the crown that Jesus has on when he comes back in Revelation 19. If you look at the Greek names for the crowns, this one means a diadem, which is like a ruler over many, but this one is just like just a crown, just saying you're king. You understand? But you're not over anything. Because when he first comes, he's not over anything.
Right.
But then he goes out to conquer. Okay? He's going out. He's going forth in the world to subdue the world under the Antichrist. Okay? Now, this 180 days is very important, and the additional 7 days, because from the last day of Adar, what's the first day of, what's the month that comes after Adar? Drea? No, I'm just playing. It's Nisan, okay? So Nisan is the month that comes after Adar. So from Nisan 1 to Yom Kippur is going to be 187 days, which I just read to you, 80 days plus 7, okay? Now, trying to say, let's do this. Let's go backwards in our scriptures and let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 2, sorry. Are you there? It says, meanwhile, Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth. What does Ishbosheth mean? Evil man, okay? It means a defiled evil man, okay? And it says, so Saul had taken Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and he said he made him king over Gilead, Ashuri, Jezreel, and also over Ephraim and Benjamin and all of Israel. Okay, Ishbosheth the son of Saul was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of the time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. You hear that? So the 6 months is the 180 days. What's the 7 years?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. Now listen, for 7 years and 6 months, he rules over Hebron, David. Why isn't he ruling in Israel? But didn't God declare that David would be king? Why is he ruling? Why does he have to go? Hebron doesn't even belong to Jews. It belongs to a guy named Caleb who helped Joshua. And now God said, because you helped Joshua and you were so faithful, I'm giving you Hebron. And Caleb receives Hebron. And David has to go to Hebron and be king in Hebron because he can't go to Israel and be king in Israel. So now he rules for 7 years and 6 months. How many days is 6 months?
180.
180. Okay? And so what I'm trying to show you is that the story has already been told, okay? And if everything folds together perfectly, the scriptures will play out perfectly, because we all think that the tribulation begins when we leave. This says that he's throwing a party for 6 months before the tribulation begins. For 180 days, you're going through the kingdom looking at all the vast wealth and beauty of the king. Okay? Let's go back to Esther real fast now. Okay. Let's see what happens on the seventh day. Okay. And it says, when these days were over, the king, we're in verse 5, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest. The garden, okay, the garden had hangings of white and blue linen. Are those Israel's colors? Fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings and marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver and mosaic pavements of porphyria, which whatever that is, I don't have enough money to know. Okay? Marble.
Your pay grade.
Yeah, it's under my pay grade. Thank you. They had mother of pearls, and it said, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from another. That means everybody in the kingdom had their own individual gold cup. Probably had your name on it.
That's crazy.
MC. BD's gold cup, right? So it says, wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. Royal wine was in abundance in keeping with the king's liberality. The king commanded each guest was allowed to drink in his own way, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. And that's the end of the 8th verse. So this celebration. Now, I don't drink wine. You know why I don't drink wine? I love wine. I mean, it's like one of the sophisticated things to do, but it's dumb, you know, because you can get addicted to it, right? But Jesus said, I will not drink again with you until I see you in the kingdom. So I'm like, okay, if you're not going to drink again, I'm not going to drink again, okay? So I'm waiting to get to heaven. So when Jesus tips his glass, I can go, hail Jesus, right? And then I can tip my glass too. But I'm waiting on this party. Because this is what we've been promised. Now, the fact that David is reigning for 7 years and 6 months shows you one thing. The 6 months is different from the 7 years.
Right.
So what's going on for 6 months? We know the tribulation lasts for 7 years, but what's going on for 6 months? Thank you. Okay. Now I got to go back to Samuel. So here he is. He's reigning in Hebron. Okay. And he knows he's supposed to be king over Israel, but the people have rejected him. They don't want David to be their king. Who did they choose for their king? Ishbosheth, not Saul. Saul was his dad. This guy's Ishbosheth. He's worse than Saul. His name means defiled man. Okay? But the Jewish people made him king and said, no, David, you can't. Go do what you got to do, but you can't. Go to Hebron. There's a lot of Gentiles over there. You can be king there, but you can't be king here. Okay? Now, it says then, it says, is it in verse? I'm going to go to Ishbosheth was murdered. Da, 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 da. Okay. I'm going to go to chapter 4. Let's go to verse 12. And it says, so David gave an order to his men, and they killed them, and they cut off their hands and feet and hung the bodies by a pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth. Remember, he's got to be his. Remember, they cut off the giant's head. Every time you defeat this enemy, his head's got to come off. Remember what Jesus told Satan? But he's going to crush your head. I'll be back.
Yeah.
I'm going to crush your head. Right? Okay, so they took off the head of Ishbosheth and buried in Abner's tomb at Hebron. And then it says, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, these are Pharisees too, right? We are your own flesh and blood, buddy. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people, and you will be their leader. When all the elders of Israel had came to King David at Hebron, the king made a agreement with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. But he had to wait 7 years and 6 months before he could rule in the place. But he already got crowned. In Revelation, what's the first thing that happens when we get there?
Crowning ceremony.
So the Bible is playing it out. See, my thing is this. This is why I'm always telling you Jewish history. If you believe the Bible is a book full of stories, you won't understand your future. You've got to understand God is talking about something you've got involved in, and I want to tell you what's going to happen next so you can expect it. So you're not sitting around earth thinking that this is as good as it gets, right? Okay.
Amen.
So now we have to understand this. Okay. Remember I was telling you that they can't start a Smita year until after Rosh Hashanah? Why? Because they're still in this year, and it's not a sabbatical year. But after Rosh Hashanah, they'll be in a sabbatical year because they're using their civil calendar. Okay? So that, now the sabbatical year starts what? The beginning of a new 7 years. Okay? So it'll be the beginning of a new 7 years, but it won't start till the fall, okay? Now, I want us to go to Exodus chapter 30. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. It might be even 32, okay? You there? Okay. Now, I want to explain. Let's go to 32 so we can see this, okay? Now, first of all, in chapter 31, Moses had gone. Well, let's read this in 32. It says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. And for this fellow, Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off your gold earrings with your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron, and he took what they had handed him, and he made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then he said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Israel."
Wow.
And all the people partied and got wild and did all kinds of stuff, and they just said, "Forget about Moses, the king is dead." Now, it's not necessary that you know this, but in Egypt, if the king died, they made a calf out of gold and they worshiped it to say that the king had passed. So what they were doing, what they learned in Egypt all of this time, they were just repeating what they had learned in Egypt. Okay, so now Moses, God tells Moses, go back down there because your people are sinning.
Your people.
Okay, because God's like, they're not my people anymore. So Moses goes back down and he sees these people and they're sinning, and he chastises them and he tells them, look, I'm going to go back up to the mountain and I am going to make an atonement for you. I'm going to plead with God to forgive you. Okay? So Moses goes back up to the mountain. Okay? And what's he going back up for? He told them to make an atonement for you, to see if God will forgive you of this awful sin. Okay? Now Moses, after 40 days, because remember, Jesus went back up to heaven, and he's going to be gone for how long? 2,000 years, which is 40 jubilees. Okay? So he's going to be gone for 40 jubilees, 2,000 years. And when he comes back, he's coming back to do what? Rescue Israel. You understand? To make, to let them know, I've made atonement for you, and God is not going to punish you now. You understand? So when Moses comes down, here, let's look at this. And I want to make sure. Okay. Ooh, yeah, we're going to do this tomorrow. Okay. Now, here we go. Let's start in verse 34 and verse 27, okay? And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, write down the words, for in accordance with the words I had made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there and with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, without eating bread or drinking water. He wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, is this the first Ten Commandments they get? No, this is the second. Remember, they destroyed the first covenant, but God is coming with them because he's made a new covenant. The covenant that the Jews had with God was the law. They destroyed that. So Jesus went back up and he's coming back down what? With a new covenant. And this new covenant, now they've rejected their king. And now here it is. He comes back down. It says, when Moses came down, verse 29, from the Mount of Sinai, the two tablets of testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. So he's glowing. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. Now, if they had to come back, what did they do? They took off. They remember what they did. They will all see me, even those who crucified me. When Jesus comes back and they go, that's Jesus? We've been rejecting him and calling him names for years. They're going to think what? He's coming back to jack us up. Right? But remember, He has a covenant with the patriarchs. I think three of them read in their Bible study that when he comes back, the table, the testimony is open because the testimony of tablets have the covenant that he made with the patriarchs so that no harm comes to the people of Israel. So God has a promise that he's not going to harm them, but he's bringing them a new covenant so that they can be forgiven and he can write the words on their hearts and they could truly be his people, right? So this is what's happening. So when he comes down, when he goes up, it's the first of a law. This is Jewish history, okay? It's the first of a law. 40 days later is the 30 days of a law. Then you had 10 days of Tishri, which is the next month. And so that 10 days plus that 30 was 40. So Moses comes down after 40 days, and it's the 10th of Tishri. And what do we call the 10th of Tishri today? The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Now, this is a sample to show us that when Jesus returns, he's coming back on Yom Kippur. That's so important. Because in the book of Revelation, right before Jesus comes back, they have a Yom Kippur service in heaven. And you wouldn't notice it, but they're throwing incense on the fire so they can create a smoke. Why? Because it's Yom Kippur. They're doing this in heaven, right? And they're letting you know so you can go back and read it and go, wait a minute, they're having a Yom Kippur service in heaven. And they're creating a cloud and a smoke so that when Jesus comes back on the cloud, which he promised he would, right? So he knows he's coming back on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm going to come back on the cloud. What's the purpose of a cloud?
Destroy everybody.
So everyone is not destroyed because of the two sons, right? That walked in there to talk to God. And they had a little fainting spell. Now they died. Okay, they died. They walked in there. They walked in there like, hey, let's go talk to God. Doody doody do. Boom. So God said, tell Moses to come here. I got to have, we're going to change the rule about people just walking up in here. Right? So they said, from now on, sorry about the two kids. From now on, when you come in here, you take incense, you put them on the fire, and you create a cloud, and then you come in because my presence sits on the mercy seat,
yes,
so that you don't die and you won't see me.
Yes.
You understand?
Amen.
So this is the whole thing about this Yom Kippur. Now, when they enter into their sabbatical year, right? When they enter into their sabbatical year, it will be Tishri. This coming year, it will be in Tishri. The 10th day of Tishri will be Yom Kippur. That will be 6 months. That will be 6 months after Nisan 1, okay? Which is the beginning of their new year and the end of 2021. So you see how that works out perfect with what God has shown us concerning 2021 being the end. Okay, now let's leave. Let's be in heaven for 6 months. And then that 6 months will go by. They'll be in the month of Tishri. Then the Antichrist will come forward. And then he'll present the covenant and the peace treaty. And it'll be on the 10th of Tishri. And then from the 10th of Tishri till he returns on the 10th of Tishri on a cloud, it will be that 7 month, 1,260 days plus 1,260 days, and you have your 7 years. Yeah, 7 years. Okay. If I got 1 second, Pastor Ben, I just want us to go to Judges chapter 6, and then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about tomorrow. When you get to Judges, go to chapter 6. Okay. And one of the sisters, I think her name was Tina, she had sent me this months ago. And I was like, okay, I gotta check that out. Like, I'm just seeing this. And it's, now watch this. And then I was studying it all day on Monday. It says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. You hear that? Now, this whole story is about how Gideon has to go and rescue them in this 7 year period. And then they were rejecting him as king, right? They didn't want Gideon to be their king at first. But Gideon had to go in there and rescue them in this 7 year period. And then at the end of the 7 year period, they say, okay, Gideon, you can be our king now. And Gideon says, I don't want to be your king. He says, God will be your king. So it's that same 7 year tribulation period, okay? Because I'm seeing a common lie, because we got a lot of liars now. We got more liars than ever before because we got YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Rumble. And, you know, so it's like, I know where you can lie and they'll pay you for it, right? So it's like, it's mass. So that means the people of God has to learn the Bible so that we know what we're talking about, okay? So here's another 7 year period that Israel does evil, and for 7 years, Gideon has to go to war for them, win this war, destroy their enemies, and then plant them back in their land and being right with God. But in the beginning, it says, oh, by the way, he put them in there for the evil they were doing. A 7 year period came upon them. Okay. Same as Joseph. There's going to be 7 years of good, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So you know that there's a 7 year period. Okay. He will confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years, right? So all of these things are telling you the two witnesses witness for 3.5 years, and then they get killed in the middle of the tribulation. And then you got another 42 months after that, okay, which is 3.5 years, 7 years, okay? So the Bible is consistently telling you the tribulation is going to be 7 years. The tribulation is going to be 7 years. And the Bible consistently tells you that a bride went into the palace before the tribulation began. Before the Antichrist came, the bride went into the palace. It's constantly telling you the same story so that the people of God know that you are special. I have a plan for you. I'm going to remove you from this earth before the Antichrist even comes. And Thessalonians says that, okay? Tomorrow we're going to look at that, because we have to see our own patterns. You understand? Or else we got a group called the 14ers. Have you heard of the 14ers?
No.
Y'all never heard of the 14ers? Go look on YouTube, man. Y'all got to get on y'all. No. The 14ers believe the tribulation is going to last for 14 years.
Oh, wow. What, 7 is not enough?
Pastor, see, I didn't think of that. I'm just saying, when you have that many liars, and this guy does this regular Bible study, and all these people are calling themselves the 14ers. So the tribulation is going to be 14 years, not 7.
Yay.
Okay. So, huh? Oh, there's going to be 7 good years, and then there's going to be 7 bad years.
Really?
See?
Really?
So,
they're taking that scripture?
So, hey, but see, this is what I'm saying, is that if we don't know our own Bible, you're going to think that that's what it is. Now, there's other people that are saying, well, we're not going to have to endure God's wrath, because God's wrath comes in the middle of the tribulation. So we'll be here for the first 3.5 years, because the Antichrist is going to be really nice to us for 3.5 years. He won't get really mean until 3.5 years. And he would love for you to believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go over our patterns that God has given the church concerning 7 years, concerning how the tribulation starts, concerning when we leave, what happens when we leave, you know, because if you don't know, somebody is going to come. I was watching the guy who was going over to Smita's, and he agreed with me. He's like, these people are crazy with this Smita thing, blah, blah, blah. And he said, let me explain the Smita. And I'm like, oh, this guy is good. And then after, before he got off, he says, and we got to know, you know, that our God is going to deliver us from his wrath. And then he started going into the rescue of the 3.5 years in the middle of the, and I went, okay, he's a little crazy then. You know what I mean? But he was right about, okay, this is how Smitas work. They don't work independently of each other. They're guided by the Jubilees. You understand? Okay, that's the Bible study tonight. Tomorrow we're going to look at the 70th week of Daniel. Okay, which is 7 years. Okay, Jacob's trouble, which is 7 years. The coming famine, the 7 years. And even this prophecy of Gideon, we're going to look at. Okay? Praise God.
What time tomorrow, Pastor?
Is it 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
All right.